Good evening. It's good to see everyone tonight for our Sunday night worship service. Zeb, I appreciate you leading the songs that would go along with the lesson. This morning, Brother Guy spoke on hope as the anchor of the soul. Tonight, we want to talk about being calm during the storm. Have you ever experienced something so devastating that it is forever etched in your mind? Throughout history and throughout our lives, we have had experiences that leave lasting impressions on us. For some, it may have been such as the assassination of JFK, or maybe the tornadoes of 74, or even the spaceship Challenger as it exploded, or 9/11. These are just a few things that come to mind from recent history, and during those events, I'm sure that you have a very vivid recollection of where you were, who you were with, and how you felt. More recently for me and several of you, with the tornadoes on April 27, 2010, March 2, 2011, and April 28, 2014. The devastation of those kind of events are not soon forgotten. How do you remain calm during the storms? Especially, how do you remain calm during the storms of life? I want to take a look at a man who encountered many storms in his life. I want to look at how he reacted. I want to look again at Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, I think we could characterize his life as one big storm. The troubles that he had in life remind me of what Job said in Job 14, verse 1, when he said, "Man is born of woman, is of a few days and full of troubles." As we look at Paul, and starting in just in Acts chapter 21, of Paul's life and the troubles that he had. In chapter 21, Paul is seized by the Jews simply for preaching, for teaching the truth, for preaching the gospel. In chapter 22, after being seized by the Jews, he has an opportunity to tell of his conversion, to tell about the call that he had to preach to the Gentiles. In chapter 23, he goes before a council, and during this chapter, the Jews, they vow to kill him. "We're not going to eat anything until he's dead." In chapter 24, he goes before Governor Felix, and he tells his why he's there. They have the trial there, but Felix leaves him in prison for 2 years. Chapter 25, we find that now there's a new governor, Governor Festus, and the Jews still, after 2 years, they still want to kill Paul. Paul, knowing this, then appeals to Caesar. And in chapter 26, before he actually goes to Rome, before he goes to Caesar, Paul goes before King Agrippa. He testifies of his conversion, and Agrippa finds that he's not worthy of death. King Agrippa, after even hearing him, says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In chapter 27, we studied that a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night Bible class, Paul encounters an actual storm. And in this storm, while as a prisoner he's headed to Rome, let's look at how he reacts in the storm. In chapter 27 starts in verse 1, and Paul and the other prisoners now have been delivered to Julius the centurion, who is going to be with him on his voyage to Rome. In verse 4, the winds are already contrary. Slow sailing in verse 7, the winds are blowing against them, and they're already, by verse 8 in chapter 27, they're already having difficulties with sailing. Does that sound like a trip or sound like a voyage that you might want to go on? Not me. We continue on as he's sailing through, and the sailing at this point in time now is just too dangerous. It's too dangerous for anybody to be sailing during the waters during this time. Paul, he warns them. He stands up and he says, "You know, men," he says, "I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but our lives. This is not going to end well. We don't need to be out there." Verse 11, Paul's warning is not heeded. Why don't we heed warnings? The signs are there. They have a sign up that says wet paint. What's the first thing that we want to do? We want to touch it to see if it's wet. When the tornado siren goes off, as I mentioned earlier about the tornadoes, when those sirens go off, what do? I know what I do. It's time to go to the shelter. Not heeding warnings can be costly. Luke 12, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Noah. Remember him. 100 years plus, he's building the ark. He's preaching, he's teaching. How many lives are saved? Only 8 souls are saved. Their warnings are there. And Paul is giving the warning to them. And he's saying, we don't need to go. But they go ahead and they go. Verse 14, the storm begins. The tempestuous winds are starting to arouse. They are unable to control. They're unable to sail against the winds. And they just kind of give up. The ship is just blown by the winds. They start to secure the boat in verse 16 and 17. They secure the lifeboat. They now wrap the boat with cables or ropes trying to secure it. But they're tossed about. They're tossed about to and fro. We got to get some rid of some things. So they start taking things out of the ship. When the storms in our lives, when they happen, what do? Do we let the winds blow us in all directions? As a Christian, do we allow Satan to deceive us and toss us about in different directions, but not in the direction that leads to heaven? Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, he says, of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. We're no more children that are going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, he says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, he says, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As Christians, we can't be tossed about to and fro by Satan, by the deceptions of sin. The storm continues. They've started taking the tacking of the ship or the ship's equipment. They're throwing it overboard. Many days now will pass and there's no sight of the sun or the stars. Could you imagine being out in the middle of this sea? You don't see the sun, nor do you see the stars for days. That's how bad this storm is. And listen to what they conclude. All hope. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We have drifted about and there's no other option. That it's just death. There's no life left. That's how they felt. What an awful feeling to have no hope. No hope. Do we feel that way sometimes in our lives? There's no hope. We've sinned so that there's nothing anyone can do to help us. But isn't it great to serve the living God? To serve God, to serve Jesus, to follow after Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, says He has begotten us again to that lively hope by the resurrection of the Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. We are risen so that we can have an inheritance that is incorruptible, one that is undefiled, one that fades not away, one that is reserved in heaven for you, for me, for those of us who are in Christ, who may be in the middle of a storm. There is hope. Paul, as he is there, and as we can see, think about Paul and how he's feeling in this current state of hopelessness, because they said that all hope is gone. But what about Paul? Paul, what do you do? What are you thinking, Paul? In verse 21, it says, Paul stands up in the middle of them, and basically says to them, you should have heeded my warning. I told you that this was going to happen. You should have heeded the warning. But listen to what Paul says in verse 22. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What's there to cheer about? We can't see the sun. We can't see the stars. We were just being tossed about. What is there to cheer about? Paul tells them, not one hair on anyone's head is going to be lost. In our Christian life, what is there to cheer about? What do we have to cheer about? It's knowing that we have our faith. It's knowing that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, whereby ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We may be in great temptations. The trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. What does he say? Even though it might be tried by fire, he says, we might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to look forward to. How can you and I tell someone who's in the middle of a storm, you be of good cheer? James said it in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, my brethren, count it all joy that we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. It works steadfastness. Paul could, in verses 23 and 24, he could stand before them. He could say, fear not. When you're in the middle of the storm and Jesus is on your side, fear not. Paul told the Corinthians, and Brother Guy mentioned this verse this morning, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast during the storm. Be unmovable during the storm. Always abound in the Lord during the storm. Whatever that storm might be that you're going through, Paul believed in God. He believed in His promises. That's why he could say in verse 25, he could tell them, you be of good cheer. Why? Because he says, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. He said it, it's going to happen. It's the same thing for you and me. He said it, we can believe that it's going to happen because we had that promise of Him. But how can we believe in someone that we haven't seen? Continuing with Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Peter said, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though you've seen Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith. What is that? The salvation of your soul. That's what we look forward to. That's what we look forward into this life. So no matter what we go through in this life, no matter what storm comes our way, salvation comes to those who remain faithful to the Lord. They have drifted for 14 days now. But land is near. They've sensed that. They get the four anchors. They cast the anchors out, and they're just wishing for day to come. In verses 30 and 32, the sailors, they're wanting to flee, but Paul tells them, unless you stay in this ship, you won't be saved. Now, how much faith is they going to have in Paul for that? Paul's already told them the ship's not going to be, it's not going to last. But if you're going to save your life, you have to stay in this ship. Don't we sometimes have our own ideas of how to save ourselves? What did Jesus say, though? Jesus said in Acts 4, verse 12, He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is through Jesus that we are saved. It's through Him during our storms in our life that we are saved. It's who Paul looked toward. It's who Paul leaned on during the storms of his life. Verses 33 and 34, the story continues. Paul now is encouraging them. He says, okay, stay on this ship. You're going to be saved. Now we need to eat something. We need to get our strength. We've been 14 days without food. Not one hair is going to fall upon anyone's head. So he takes the bread, he gives thanks to God, and they eat it. Look at the difference in them now. Then were they all. And all is 276 souls that are on this ship. Now they all have good cheer. They all have a hope. There was no hope. Now they have some hope. During the storms, what do we need to do? We need to feast upon the bread of life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. In verse 51 of chapter 6, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give in my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. No wonder Paul, throughout all the storms, he could have courage. No wonder Paul, he remained calm. No wonder Paul had hope. He followed after the one who had the words of eternal life. That's why it's important for us to take our Bibles. That's why it's important for us to 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we take it. That's why we study it. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, he said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What's going to set you free? Truth. When we continue here, and they now they have got this good cheer, they have this glimpse of hope now. They start lightening the ship again. The ship runs aground. The waves begin to beat against the ship, and it's destroying it. The soldiers then come up with another idea. We need to kill the prisoners. Julius is like, no, he wants to save Paul. Let's let them. If they can swim, you swim to shore. If you can hold on to something, you hold on to it, you get to the shore. And what happens? The rest of the story is all 276 souls escaped safely to land, just as Paul said, just as the angel of God told him it would happen. As the waves of life beat upon us, whether it struggles with our finances, whether it struggles with our children, whether it struggles with our job, whether it struggles with our marriage, struggles with our health, struggles with trying to live a faithful Christian life, we have to lighten the load. We have to look to our hope. We have to look to our anchor of our soul. We have to look to Jesus. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that let us lay aside every weight. We're going to put those things that are going to make us run aground. We're going to take those things. We're going to cast them off. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, he says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to who? Looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, and he endured the cross for us, he despised the shame, and now he's, where is he? He's set down on the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we look. So when life becomes the biggest storm, and waters are hard to wade, the Savior's love will keep you warm. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 20, he said, it is I. Be not afraid. During the storm, Paul was not afraid because who was with him? Jesus was with him. Jesus tells us, he says, you come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. He says, I'm going to give you rest. You just need to come to me. Come to who? Come to the one who can make it calm. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, there's another storm raging. Jesus arises, and he rebukes the wind. He says to the sea, he says, "Peace, be still." The wind ceases, and there's a great calm. Peace, someone has said, does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise. Does not mean to be in a place where there's no trouble. It does not mean to be in a place where there's no hard work. It means to be in the middle of all those things and still be calm in your heart. You are safer with God in the middle of a storm than you are anywhere else without Him. Are you in the need of a calm from the storms and the struggles of your life? Then why not come to Jesus? On April the 28th, 2014, the storms outside were raging. 50-plus family members were packed into a rather small storm shelter at our house. Kids were crying. The wind was howling. You could hear the branches, tree branches breaking. Who do we look to? Little Audrey said, "Matt, say a prayer." The faith of a child is one that is so precious, that knows that we turn to the one who can save us. During the storm, if you're going through a storm, who do you need to turn to? You need to turn to Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you're not a Christian, here is water. What is hindering you from being baptized? Come to Jesus. He will save you. That's our invitation for tonight. Come to Jesus. He will save you. Won't you come while together we stand?